Blog Talk Radio.
Just a bunch of wisdom where I can just write a calendar, man. That's not my expertise. So why can't now the brothers who sit down and study with us, they get it. They say, oh, man, this, I can see this thing in the scriptures. I know you didn't have nothing to do with this. But everybody's not going to do this. So, but Yahweh knows the things that he taught me, revealed to me. Yahweh know the things that I'm trying to do, and he knows what you're trying to do. Gave us an expert choir director, expert. And she just wants you to hit the right note. And she know it because she used to listening to it. That's what make her an expert. I listen to it. I can't point out nothing to you. All I can do is say, well, it sounds good and it sounds bad. But if you start questioning me why and how and all that, I don't know, it just sounds good to me. People ask me about cooking. All I can tell them is it tastes good or it tastes bad. But if you start, do we need more salt? Do we need more of this, sugar, this, that? Sometimes I can say, yeah, it kind of do. But for the most part, that's not my expertise. This book, this is my expertise. You ask me about this, then I can let you know if your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. And I stay in my lane. So, we just have to know that Yah sees, knows, hears everything, you know. And believe that he will make the crooked things straight. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Mighty God, thank him for bringing us to this holy day of atonement. He wipes our spirit clean and gives us a chance to start over. I don't want to sound callous, and everyone that knows me know I'm not a callous person. I know the scriptures tell us not to be joyful when we see the calamity upon our enemies.
Praise the Mighty God. And David, in the book of Psalms, always talk about praying for his enemies. And but he prayed against his enemies also. And but just the, and I don't, if I use the word pray, did I use the word pray? Did I? Forgive me. That was a bad choice of words. Yeah, I just don't rejoice over their calamity. But this is what I do want you to know. In the book of Deuteronomy, this is the law. Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. Listening over the internet, we ask a question about our enemies, about praying for them. Oh, yeah, it is Deuteronomy 20. All right, we're going to read Deuteronomy 20.
Deuteronomy 20, verse 10 reads, when thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it.
It's not talking about one of our cities, because we're not allowed to fight any of our brothers. This is any cities that's one of our enemies. Go ahead.
And it shall be, if it make you to answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto you, and they shall serve you. And if it will make no peace with you, but will make war against you, then you shall be seized. And when Yahweh your Elohim have delivered it into thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword.
In other words, if they do want to fight, the first thing we do, well, even before we get to even fighting, we always try to make peace with anybody. We don't even the worst of our enemies always try to make peace. And then, if they don't want to make peace, then we besiege the city. And why do you besiege the city? Well, you can besiege the city for several reasons, but the number one reason, once it's besieged and nobody can go in and nobody go out, then there's still an opportunity for them to change their mind. But if they don't, then, as y'all have read, it says,
thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword.
Yeah, you're right. You smite all the male thereof with the edge of the sword. Every male.
But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shall you take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thy enemies, which Yahweh your Elohim have given you. Thus shall you do unto all the cities which are very far off from you, which are not of the cities of these nations.
Yeah, which is not of, because the nations he will ultimately mention at the next few verses, them at all, period. They were supposed to be totally killed. The men, the women, the children, we were not to even keep their stuff. We were supposed to destroy everything about them. Of course, we did not. But the city's far off, and other places other than the ones Yahweh mentioned, then we try to make peace. And because that's what Yah's thoughts are. His thoughts is of peace. So somebody coming against you, they want to destroy you, they want to fight you, they want to kill you. The thing is not to be so defensive. The first thing, what is our issue? What is our problem? What, you know, let's resolve this in a peaceful manner. But if you can't, then you go to town. And so, but all those songs, and I'll give you some songs before the end of the day, some scriptures on David praying for his enemies. And it don't say whether these enemies were foreigners or not, but it does say enemy. It used the word enemy. And but regardless, by law, we're supposed to just seek the peace. We just seek the peace. And I'll get everybody else questions too, but before I want to get my brother up here, to give us some words of wisdom from the Most High Yah. So, if we don't mind rising for our next teacher, Moray Naphtali Ben Yisrael, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. Please pray with me. Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come before thee once again on this holy, honorable, and delightful Sabbath, even this Day of Atonement, and even this Shabbat day. We come before you to praise you, to worship you, to honor you, to thank you, Yah, for this great opportunity to be forgiven and reconciled and amended and cleansed in your sight, Yah. Thou has even blessed us with a great blessing to be able to have this opportunity to move forward in a blessed way, in your way, that we may be prosperous, that we may be successful, and that we may live in your sight as the people that you desire us to be. My y'all, I just want to say I love you. We love you. We praise you, worship you, and honor you by saying hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shabbat shalom to my beautiful elders in the midst today. Shabbat shalom to my beautiful sisters in the midst today. Shabbat shalom to my brethren in the midst today. And Shabbat shalom to my family and friends that's listening by way of the internet. Hallelujah. Today is the Day of Atonement, coinciding with another great day, which is our weekly Sabbath day. So today is definitely not just a blessing, it's a double fold blessing today. Hallelujah. The Day of Atonement is about humility. It's about being humble. It's about being afflicted. And these are all the same words. An affliction, humility, humble, it just means to abase yourself. Bring yourself down. Bring your energy levels down. Bring your spirit down, your mind state. Bring it all down low. Abase yourself. Let me ask a question real quick. Where are my dogs at? Any dogs in here? Well, I praise the mighty Yah, ain't no dogs in here. Because a dog is the lowest amongst beasts. And yes, Yahweh will call people after animals because they have some attribution like that animal. Like a lion, the king of the jungle. That's what Yahweh gave to the tribe of Yehuda. And so in the scriptures, when you see this in Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, Deuteronomy 23, and it says in verse 18,
it reads, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore.
Don't bring the hire of a whore.
Or the price of a dog.
Nor the price of a dog.
Into the house of Yahweh, your Elohim.
This is not what you want to bring into the house of Yah. You don't want to bring your whorish mind state, your whorish ways, your whorish riches. And a whore and a dog are one and the same. It's just one is a female, one is a male. But these, Yahweh said, I don't want this in my house. Because if you have the attribution or similarities of a dog, then that means that you must be the lowest amongst men. Because a dog is truly the lowest amongst beasts. Look what it says in the book of Exodus, the 22nd chapter. Exodus 22, verse 31.
Exodus 22 and 31. And you shall be holy man unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field.
Don't leave nothing. Don't eat anything torn of beast in the... Go ahead, keep reading. Read that one more time.
And ye shall be holy man unto me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs.
Cast it to the dogs. And that's the purpose that dogs serve. When you study about dogs, they're in the fields, they're in the cities, and they're supposed to clean up the dead bodies. clean up the wicked. When Yahweh killed the wicked, he'll leave them for the dogs. But today, we're supposed to be very low today. We're supposed to be very humble today. We're supposed to be abasing ourselves today. And who in here is humble enough to call themselves a dog today? Who's humble enough to call themselves a dog? Look what it says in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And I know a lot of times we think we're just a lot better than this low beast scriptures, and see if that's the truth. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, the 11th verse reads, and start at verse 10.
It reads, "Then came the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yah all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and it is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Yahweh, I have performed the commandments of Yah. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears?
And he really thought he was doing something good. He really thought that he performed the commandment of the Almighty Yah. But Yahweh sitting here and said, Man, it repenteth me that I made this man the king. It's something that repents me. Go ahead.
And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people, spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh your Elohim.
And so he's blaming it on the people did this. This is what they wanted to do. I didn't command them to do this thing. Is this what the people wanted? And so he's a people pleaser because he's the king. They're up under your rulership and up under your power, and you could have stopped this thing. But you knew that this is what the people wanted, and you wanted to get into the favor of the people. You wanted them to begin to sing the songs that they sung about David. Your 1,000 to David's 10,000. No, he wants that to be flipped around. So I'm going to go ahead and let the people get what they want instead of obeying Yah. Uh-huh.
Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell you what Yahweh have said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou was little in thine own sight.
When you was little in your own sight. And see, this is what we forget sometimes. We know our own inner parts. We know our self-esteems. And we know we have this low and little thought of ourselves. But then Yahweh might give you a position. He might bless you. But you forget that you even thought little of yourself. And today, this is a day that you definitely should be thinking little of yourself. Because it's going to be a day where Yahweh is going to show you that you're not that much greater than a dog. Do you know the day of the week that a dog was created? The same day he made man. That was made on the same day. But keep reading this.
And Samuel said, When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel?
Yeah, you was nothing. You was little in your own sight, and the truth is because you was little, period. You was a nothing. Yahweh could have came and chose any man to rule over his people. But he took you from nothing. You had nothing. You are nothing. You don't know nothing about ruling no nation of people. But he made you the head. Made you a king. Mm-hmm.
And Yah sent you on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites. And fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then, did thou not obey the voice of Yah, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of Yah? And Samuel said unto Saul, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took up the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh our Elohim in Gilgal.
Yeah, so you're too much worried about the people and what they think. And if I don't let them get their way, they're going to be mad at me. But the truth is this, things in the hands of the Almighty. And when you triumph and rejoice for him, people are going to hate you. People are going to dislike your decisions. But at the end of the day, your name is going to reign supreme. And it's going to reign supreme because Yahweh is going to see fit to it. People might hate you, but Yahweh will make people love you. He will make people respect you where they don't have no choice but to do it. But yes, when you carry Yahweh's name, you might get some hate. But keep reading this.
And Samuel said, have Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And to hearken than the fat of rams.
Yeah, you can throw the biggest party in the world, but Yahweh said all them sacrifices don't mean nothing to me. It's about obedience, and it's about hearkening. And look what it says in the 28th verse.
As Samuel said unto him, Yahweh have rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day.
This day the kingdom is gone from you, bro. It's over. He's rented from you. And the mercies of the Almighty is that he's not even killing you right now. But what he's doing, he's taking this kingdom that you didn't deserve from the beginning. You never did anything to deserve this kingship where Yahweh should give you chance after chance. No. You done show who you really are, and you don't deserve this position. So he rented from him.
And have given it to a neighbor of thine.
Given it to a neighbor of thine.
That is better than thou.
That is who?
Better.
That's better than you. And so don't never get it twisted to think that somebody can't be better than you. You got to know that Yahweh can always find somebody better than you. You might have a child right next to you, 3 years old, and you 30 years old, but that child is going to be raised up to take your place because he's better than you. He's going to take your house. He's going to take your position because Yahweh always got something. He's not caught up in one man. It's us that has to be caught up in who? In Yahweh. But yes, Yahweh can find somebody definitely better than you. And this is why we don't get caught up in one another. This is why we don't get caught up in ourselves. What I'm caught up in this woman for when Yahweh can give me something better. What I'm caught up in this man for when Yahweh can give me something better. And maybe Yahweh ain't giving me this because he do got something better for me. Also, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. This man Saul thought little of himself. He didn't have strong confidence in himself. Even though he was this big, tall stature of a man, very strong because he was a sheep herder, but he still thought little of himself. I ain't nobody at the end of the day. But he forgot that. And the truth is, that's all of us. We're nothing and we're nobody. 1 Samuel 24, what do it say? Starting at verse 11.
1 Samuel 24 and 11. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in it that I had cut off the skirt of thy robe.
He called him my father. This man been seeking his life, trying to kill him. He can't even sleep at night. He got to sleep in the woods because he got people just keeping an eye out, and he's on the run from this man because he's pursuing him hot every day. But he still said, my father,
See, yea. See the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in it that I cut off thy, the skirt of thy robe, and killed you not. Knowest thou, and see, that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunted my soul to take it. Yah judge between me and you, and Yahweh avenge me of you, but my hand shall not be upon you.
I'm not about to lift myself up in this manner and put my hand upon you. Yahweh has anointed you. It ain't about you at the end of the day. It's about my relationship with the Almighty. And at the end of the day, we here together and trying to have mercy on one another, forgiving one another, but it ain't about us having mercy on one another or forgiving one another. It's about Yahweh's having mercy on us. And it's about us humbling ourselves to the Almighty. Because when I sin against my brother, my sin is against Yahweh at the end of the day. He the one told me to don't defraud my brother. Don't steal from my brother. Show compassion every man to his brother. So when we do these things, we break his covenant at the end of the day. And so this is beyond one another. And this is why David had this approach with Saul.
As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceeded from the wicked.
That's what comes from the wicked. You don't expect nothing else. They wicked. That's what proceeds from them. You can't even expect righteousness to come from the wicked.
But my hand shall not be upon you. After whom is the king of Israel come out?
After who is you coming out anyway, O king? You got to learn something here. I need to reprove you and show you something important. Because you coming out of your house every day with one mission. Saul ain't even doing nothing with his life no more. All he doing is trying to kill David every single day. Did y'all find David? He can't even sleep because he's trying to kill David every single day. And he's like, man, what are you really coming out for?
And after whom does you pursue?
After whom do you pursue?
After a dead dog?
I'm just a dead dog at the end of the day. You wasting your time on me. You got bigger things on your plate, and that's the Almighty Yah. And all of us are dead dogs compared to Yah. Take Job and compare him to Yahweh. He's a dead dog. Take David and compare him to Yahweh. He is a dead dog. We all are dead dogs compared to the Almighty Yah. Keep going. After a dead dog and after a what?
Flea?
I'm just a flea. I'm very small and little in the spectrum. See, Saul understood that at a point of time in his life. I'm just little. I'm worth nothing at the end of the day. But then he forgot how little he really is. You see how big this earth is. You see how big the universe is. And it's a billion people, over a billion people on it. It's all to remind you how little you are. When you go downtown and see all these sky rises, the technology, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this world, it's all to remind you how little you really are. You very little. You so small in the spectrum, just like this man said, I'm just a flea. I'm a dead dog. Look what it says in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. And I know we still don't get it. We still don't really understand the dog in us. That low part of you that you should be considering and should be trying to throw that part of you away. Because at the end of the day, you don't want that to be your final judgment. Second Samuel 9, what do it say in verse 8?
Reads, and he bowed himself and said,
and this is the son of Jonathan whom David had found. This is also the son of Saul. This is Saul's grandson. And you know, I didn't even read it, but Saul, after he was reproved by David, and David said, man, you chasing a dead dog in the flea. You wasting your time. Don't you see Yahweh done rent the kingdom from you already? Only thing you should be doing, instead of pursuing me, you should be pursuing Yah and his mercies for you. But you pursuing me, wasting your time. And you know what Saul did? He humbled himself. He said, man, you better than me. Surely you're going to be the king. I done pursued you for nothing. Yahweh delivered me. He accepted the full truth. And all he asked in humbling himself, please just don't destroy my seed from the kingdom. And David said, I won't. He agreed. And this is David keeping his promise right here because he found one of Saul's sons. And what did he say to him? In the 7th verse, start there.
And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness.
I'm going to show you kindness, not just kindness. He said in verses before, I'm going to show you the kindness of Elohim.
For Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant?
What is your servant?
That you should look upon such a dead dog as I am.
I'm just a dead dog at the end of the day. And when you're truly humble, this is the spirit and the mind that you have. But this man having this spirit, this man ate at King David's table for the rest of his life. And he died a royal, rich man. But he understood that I'm nothing at the end of the day. I'm just a flea. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Proverbs 26, verse 11. If King David can call himself a dead dog and a flea, my goodness.
Proverbs 26, verse 11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly.
Yeah, a fool that returns to his folly is the same thing as a dog that returns to his vomit. And who in here has returned to their folly? Who in here had a day of atonement and said, listen, I ain't doing this and that no more, but then you end up doing it? That's the dog in you. Look what it says. Also, Proverbs. Before you read this Proverbs, I want you to read Isaiah 56. And then we're going to come back to Proverbs. I know we thought we was much better than the dog, but we was created on the same day. Isaiah 56, verse 10. No, start at verse 9.
Isaiah 56 and 9. All ye beasts of the field.
All ye beasts of the field.
Come to devour.
He's not talking about these four-legged beasts. He's talking about these two-legged beasts.
All ye beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs.
They all dumb dogs. I mean, these, what do you say? Their watchmen ain't nothing but dumb dogs.
They cannot bark.
They can't bark.
Sleeping.
They sleeping because really that's what dogs like to do. Dumb dogs anyway. They like to sleep.
Lying down.
Lying down.
Loving to slumber.
Loving to slumber. Who love to slumber? Who love just sleeping, lying down, and slumbering? Who love it? Well, I know a lot of us love it. Just don't want to admit to that dog that's in you. The true servants of the Almighty, just look at Jacob and how he liked to slumber. Look what it says in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Just showing you the way of the low beast. And when you carry these attributions, you can't consider yourself above this beast. Proverbs 23, verse 20.
Proverbs 23, 20. Be not amongst wine bibbers.
Don't be amongst wine bibbers.
Amongst riotous eaters of flesh.
Riotous eaters of flesh.
For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty.
The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty.
And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags.
Drowsiness is going to clothe a man with rags. So what that's saying is that drowsiness, slumber, lying down, loving to sleep, that's not going to clothe you with glory and praise. It's going to clothe you with rags, something that looks shameful, something that don't is not a good representation of nothing. This is what that drowsy sluggard lying down loving to slumber will get you. And one might say, I don't do this, and I don't, but yeah, you love to lie down and sleep too much. And I know you didn't consider that dogs do the same thing. Dumb dogs, they do the same thing. They asleep all day and all night as if they got a job or something. Look what it says in verse. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. So as many ways your eating happens, you're a glutton. Yeah, that's what dogs do. They eat until they throw up. Eat until they just lying around feeling sick. Eat until it just puts you into a comatose of a sleep. You ate that dinner at 6 o'clock and woke up at 2 a.m. Like, my goodness, who that dinner? And then eat again. I'm hungry again now. You want to sleep off a full dinner. But this is the kind of gluttony that dogs do. Ecclesiastes 9, what do it say in verse 4? Sleeping, lying down, love to slumber. You ever see somebody sleep, lying down, love to slumber? They get about maybe 12 to 15 hours of sleep a day, and then when you see them, they still say, I'm tired. I'm tired. Well, you done got more sleep than all of us in here. You still tired? Look what it says. Starting at verse 3.
This is an evil amongst all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope.
For him that's joined to all the living, there is hope, and this is why we have to take advantage of these great opportunities that's laid before us, like today, a day of atonement that Yahweh has blessed us to see, even in the latter days. This is a great opportunity. So, therefore, we know trouble is already here, but the peak of the trouble is still to come. So we got this opportunity to be cleansed before the Almighty, and that way when he come, We kind of decent clean, looking like some righteous people. The scripture says that the remnant shall do no what? No iniquity. You know what your iniquity is. You know drinking is your iniquity. You know food is your iniquity. You know your gluttony. You know your sleeping habits. You know all your, you know your iniquity. You know the things that you should be being better at. And Yahweh's forgiven you. He's forgiven you. So now it's time to do what? Just do better. And why? For a living dog, because that's what we all are at the end of the day. I know nobody want to raise their hand to that, but we just living dogs. But it's better than a dead lion, because you still got a chance to not just think and talk and say you better than a dog, but you can, you got the opportunity to show the Almighty that you truly are. And we still don't walk around like we better. You just got to show it through your actions. And the last scripture, let's go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Yeah, when we don't consider one another, all we're doing is breaking the covenant of Yah. When we're not compassionate with one another, nice and merciful and kind to one another, we should be extra kind. I don't care if you got to fake it till you make it. Be extra nice to one another. Don't let nobody get no cold vibes off of you at all. Draw your soul out to mercy. Proverbs 10, verse 26.
It reads, as vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him.
Yeah, and that's why Yahweh's not dealing with no sluggard servants. Yahweh got servants, and he's trying to send them to handle his business, to do his bidding. But Yahweh can't get nothing good out of a sluggard. And this is why we must get up in the mornings with purpose and have ourselves busy all day. And then you got the nighttime when you can go ahead and get into your room and get into your self-centered situation. But no, get up out of there. I wanted to bench on that, but I couldn't leave without showing this. The fear of Yah prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Hallelujah. And with that, I just want to praise Yahweh for this opportunity to see such a great day. Just it shows the mercy of the Almighty. And I know the place from whence Yahweh has taken me. I'm a man of no virtues. Mori Elisha told me one day, he came down to Raleigh, North Carolina, to the congregation, and my father said, listen, I want y'all to load him up with questions, hit him with your hardest thing. And he came to visit, and I asked him a question. I said, what can I do now to prepare myself to be very instrumental for the nation in the future? He said, get as much knowledge as you can. I thought he was at least going to open a book, show me a verse, something. He just got straight to it. He said, get as much knowledge as you can. And from that time to now, I ain't been in no trade schools. I don't know nothing about electricity. Because he told me, he said, plumbing, construction, anything. Just learn as much as you can. Because when you got knowledge, then you can always show yourself useful. And so I know I done wasted a lot of time being a two-bit hustler in the streets, learning nothing. And but Yahweh has seen fit to send me to serve him. And so I know the place from whence Yahweh has taken me. I will never forget it. I just appreciate the blessing, the mercies of the Almighty God. And if I offended anybody in here, please, please forgive me. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. And again, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is, by saying hallelujah. Very beautiful presentation, beautiful class, and that's beautiful because a lot of there's one scripture that the Almighty said where he said we were less than nothing. He said the nations were less than nothing to him. How can you be less than nothing? In other words, Yahweh sees something less than what we can't even see. Nothing, and then something less. Praise the mighty Yah. And I just want to start in Isaiah 59, if you don't mind turning there. In the book of Isaiah 59, and I'll start at verse 1. And it says, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear you. So the Creator is letting us know how bad really sin is, because sin separates you from the Most High. And there's nothing that separates you from the Most High more than sin. The buck stops with sin. It starts with iniquity. And the one thing you don't want to be is separated from the Most High. And even if you think you know the Most High, chances are you don't know him as well as you might believe. But you can. You can know the Most High. If I ask you something about your children who you should know very well, have children, and ask you what's their favorite color? What do they like to do? What is their favorite book? What type of activities do they love and like? For the most part, you might be able to answer some of those things. But then there's a lot of things you won't even know about your children because you just never took the time to ask them. You never talked to them. And so you just fed them, but you never knew. They never liked them lentils that you was making. You just fed them to them, and you didn't care whether they liked it or not. And so in the end, yeah, he loved lentils. He eat them all the time. Mama, I never liked them lentils, Mama, because you only thought you knew him. And that's the same as the Most High. Sometimes we think we know the Most High, but we just really never took the time to know him. We're learning things. You've been around the teachings of Yah. But to know Yah, it has to be a personal endeavor that you have to make. You have to work. You have to labor into knowing him. Because once you know him, there's just certain things you won't do. There's certain things you won't even say. There's certain thoughts you won't even think. Because you know him. You know he hear everything. You know he know everything. You know he see everything. You know he judging your very innermost thoughts. So even when you know him, and I can assure you, if you know the Most High, make no mistake about it, he definitely know you. And so what happens is we sin. We are wrought with iniquity. And then it separates us. And you never realize that the only reason why you wondering, I wonder if y'all hear me. I'm always talking, but I'm just curious, do he hear me? And the great men and women in the scriptures, they weren't curious at all. They knew whether the Most High heard them or not, because they knew him. That's why the greatest thing that can happen to you is the worst thing. The Creator told us that my people, in the book of Hosea 4:4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you. So we live in every day without the knowledge that we need for Yahweh to answer our prayers. And we wrought with sin because we never took the time and the energy to really know him. And Yahweh wants us to know him. Because when you don't know Yah, not only are you going to be wrought with sin and iniquity, and then you have to utilize this day for things that what the wicked ask for and pray for, and versus things that you know there's unknown things that might befall you or happen in your life. Or you may become unclean by reasons just of life matters. You know, David, many of his prayers was not about some gross sin that he committed. As a matter of fact, he told the Almighty to search his heart. Search my heart and see if there's anything in me. Search me, Yah. David said, I hate those that hate thee. That's something we can never say because we don't know how to say such a thing. We got people in our family that hate the Most High. We know they hate the Most High, but do we hate them? And see, that's what David, that's how he talked. But he can talk like that because he knew the Most High. He knew his Father. He knew his Elohim. He took that time to know the Most High. And that's what we got to do. This is where our fall is. This is where our fall is with one another. Do you realize that if a man truly know his wife, do you think she'd be crying and complaining all the time? No, because I know you, so let me fix you up this plate. I know you. Let me, when you get home, I'm ready to cater to your very desires. Because why? I know you. Woman nor her husband, she wouldn't be making him mad all the time. Because I'm going to cater to your very desires. Because I know you. You know me. We know our children. Why? Because you took the time. You put the effort in, the labor, the work to do these things. We know of one another, but we don't know each other. We only know of the Most High. But we really don't know Most High. See, when you know the Most High, this is not only how you will talk, but this is how your life would actually be. If you go to the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, here we on the Day of Atonement. The Almighty talking about cleaning us and wiping away our sins. Even though on this very day we may have sinned. On this very day we may be unclean. How are you going to wipe out some uncleanness in the midst of me being unclean? And that's easy for Yah because there's nothing too hard for Yah. In the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, watch what it says. And we're going to read Start at the first verse. I want y'all to see this. Watch this.
Jeremiah 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men.
Yeah, it's just bad, and I just want to cry all day and all night. And sometimes you ride around the streets, and you just see here it is like truly a sanctuary because y'all sitting amongst people that believe like you believe, even though the people that you sitting amongst even make you weary, even though they saying praising Yah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Let Yahweh be magnified. The people that's around you sitting right here make you weary. You get tired because of the various pointing of the fingers, the backbiting, the gossip, and all the other things. You just get tired. But then you hit the streets. And then you're amongst the people that don't even know their head from their tail. And then it's worse. And all you want to do is cry and weep and just let me leave my people. That's why most black people want to move out the black community. Because it's so bad, let me just get out of here. There's got to be a better place than this. And watch what it says. Third verse.
And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies.
Yeah, they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. Ready to hurt, ready to kill, ready to strike.
But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth.
But they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth.
For they proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, saith Yah.
And they know not me, says Yah. Because they not even valiant for the truth. They not about that at all. This is why leaders can't sit down with one another because in truth, they're not valiant for the truth. That's why most men can't get corrected because they not valiant for the truth. You start correcting a man, they going to want to defend themselves and say, well, you got problems too. But accept your correction. If you valiant for the truth. Go ahead.
Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders.
Yeah, every neighbor, every brother utterly supplant. You don't think they will, but at the end of the day, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, brother, it's a plant. Yeah, neighbor will slander. But that's your neighbor. That's your brother. Go ahead.
And they will deceive everyone his neighbor. And will not speak the truth.
Yeah, they will deceive you, make you think certain things. They're not going to speak the truth.
They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity.
In other words, you will weary yourself to do something wrong. But to do something right, I don't got time for that. I don't got time to be just apologizing to nobody. I don't got time to be just helping nobody all the time. They're going to have to help themselves. But I don't got time for, you know, but you got a lot of time to do a lot of mischievous stuff. Lying. Where's the time put in for doing right? Where's the strength and the valiancy for doing the truth? Watch what it says.
Take you heed, everyone, his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thy habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith Yah.
Yeah, they refuse to know me, says Yah. And see, Yah just, he's not like us. And we can make excuses for one another, but Yah just get right down to the nitty gritty. You just refuse to know the truth. You refuse to know me. You're not even going to take time to know me. And you're not going to take time to know the truth. You're not going to be valiant for the truth. And what do this cause? What labor and work comes from this iniquity, transgression, and that separates you from the Most High? The scriptures say knowledge is easy to him that what? That understands. And you can understand this. You know how much time you spend in knowing Yahweh? And if our knowledge is the barometer, is the test, then we ain't putting no time in at all. Watch what the Creator said if we know him in this same chapter. Look what this says in the 19th verse. Or start at the 17th verse. Sister asked me this.
Thus saith Yahweh of hosts.
And right we're going to start at 16. And the reason why this was done, because of our own actions. And look what the Creator called for. Go ahead.
I will scatter them also amongst the heathens, whom neither they nor their fathers have known.
That's how you know when he said this, this was not talking about the various countries that was near to us. It was not talking about the various countries of Africa. We knew these people. But Yahweh said, I'm going to scatter them also among the heathen whom neither they nor their fathers have known.
And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them.
Till I have consumed them.
Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women.
Yeah, who is that? Why don't the women know about these mourning women? Who are these mourning women that is being called for? Go ahead.
That they may come.
That they may come.
And send for a cunning woman.
Who is this cunning woman?
That they may come.
That they may come.
And let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters.
Yeah, who are these women that we need to call? Call for them so we can just really show how sorrowful we really are. Because these men, they won't cry. They too good for that. They too strong for that. They not humble enough to do that. So call for the willing women. Because maybe then we will humble ourselves. It's something about, I done met a lot of people, they say, well, I went to my father's funeral, I went to my mama's funeral, I went to my baby funeral, I went to my brother's funeral, and I couldn't even cry. In other words, they don't realize this, but at the end of the day, what you're saying, you couldn't really mourn. Because that's all crying and weeping is. It's mourning. And this is why the scripture says call for the mourning women. Because you don't mourn, I got somebody who will mourn for you. But what was this thing all about? Continue reading.
And let them make haste.
Verse 19.
For a voice of wailing is heard out of the Zion. How are we spoiled?
How are we spoiled?
We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of Yahweh, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentation.
Yeah, teach them. But how are you going to teach them something you don't even know? And if you don't know wailing, you don't know mourning. And if you don't know mourning, how could you know Yahweh? And this is what you're going to find out about the Most High. This is how, this is what you'll be saying about the Creator. Really know him. You just won't be saying it. You will be doing it. And watch this in the same chapter, the 23rd verse.
Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom.
I don't care how much you know. Don't glory in it, though, because wisdom come and go. Go ahead.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might.
And your strength come and go.
Let not the rich man glory in his riches.
And you know they come and go.
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in all these things I delight, saith Yah.
Now, to know these things, now Yahweh know that you delight in him, because you done took the time to know him, to how he actually has a relationship with the inhabitants of the earth, with the things that's in the earth. You know him. You understand him. So when somebody is saying such and such about Yahweh, you able to teach them and show them, no, man. No, that's how Yahweh love, man. You don't know what real love is. Let me show you real love. Because this is the, this Yahweh is not thinking evil upon you. See, that was the problem with Job and his friends. His friends, after feeling sorry for him for 7 days, then they went in. And they, this was a mourning man. All this man needed was some mourning women. He didn't need a bunch of people to just start beating him down. But when you know the Most High, you know what to do in those times. You know what the Most High is really executing in his relationship with the inhabitants of the earth. It's never any different. Yahweh don't change. He don't change. This is something he has purposed to do. We just don't know, and we don't understand it. And to know it and to understand it, it takes great knowledge. And knowledge just, it just means to know. To know. But what time, what you putting into that? To know the Most High. To understand the Most High. One of the three things the Creator said you should know and understand about him, he said, execute loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And what do you know about these three things? That you can literally walk with the Most High. And if you can walk with the Most High, it's nothing to walk with one another, nothing at all. Walking with the Most High literally means that He loves you so much, He considers you so much that stay in your presence. He told our people in the book of Exodus 33, if you turn there, in the book of Exodus 33, the first verse,
it reads, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which you have brought up, out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments."
Yeah, he, because now Yahweh is declaring, I mean, can you imagine your parents telling you, look, I know you want to be with this girl, or I know you want to be with this boy, or I know you want to go and move to another town. You grown. You make your choice. Now you're on your own. I don't have nothing for you. Where you get the money is on your own. What you choose to do, you're on your own. Where you choose to go, you're on your own. Make it yourself. And then turn their back. Of course, the children don't understand that, but the adults understand the condition. What that is really saying, they not with you. You want to go this way, go your way. But make no mistake about it, that's your way. You're on your own. And this is what Yahweh is telling the children of Israel. I'm going to send an angel because I can't go in your midst. And the people knew an angel is not the Most High. They two different things altogether. Angels don't control nothing. And the Most High control everything. I showed you in the scriptures where angels fight against other angels. They don't know nothing, don't control nothing. All they know is what Yah allowed them to know. What Yah allowed them to do. And the people knew this. Because this is how terrible they were. When the scriptures say to you, you stiff-necked people, what is it saying? What it's saying is you won't even humble yourself. You won't even bend your neck. You won't even humble yourself. Then it called our people rebellious. In other words, I tell you to do something, and you rebel against your rebel. And these are things that separate us from the Most High. Sin. It's iniquity. It's transgression. And the Creator, even though He'll tell us we are rebellious and we are a stiff-necked people, but it's all because we refuse to arm ourselves with knowledge. the knowledge of Elohim. Look how important that is to the Most High, because as we read early, the Almighty, all he have is his thoughts of peace towards you. But the Creator know this in the book of Hosea. Hosea, the 6th chapter. Start reading the 5th and 6th verse.
Hosea 6 and 5. Therefore, have I healed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgments are as the light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings.
Yeah, this is what he desires more than any type of burnt offering you can give. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. And we don't want to be merciful. We want to get revenge. We want to avenge our hurt, our pain. We want to show that you know better than I am, when neither one of us are nothing. Not realizing that whatever we show, whatever we do, whatever we say, ever we think, the Creator sees, knows it all. And you think he's not going to separate you from him? He hears you. You know how you can hear somebody but you ain't listening? You know how you see something but you ignoring it? Yeah, Yahweh said his hand is not so short that he can't save. His ears heavy where he can't hear. He can do all those things. But he know what he's dealing with. He's dealing with a people that's laden with iniquity, with sin. And they don't want to change. They don't want to get better. They don't want to overcome their shortcomings. Because to overcome it, then you got to be valiant for the truth. To overcome it, you got to put the time and energy to know the Most High. And to know him, you got to work and labor in him every day. Every single day. Even though he told you the 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but part of that work is supposed to be laboring and working in him. And what do we know about the Most High? We read it where in the book of Jeremiah that truly if we had any type of desire to know and understand the Most High, we would know the various things he executes in the earth. We will also know in the book of Micah, if you turn there, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse.
Micah 6 and 6 reads, wherewith shall I come before Yahweh? and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?
Yeah, somebody answer, what shall I come before Yahweh? And how shall I bow myself before the high Elohim? When you know the Most High, you don't even have to ask those questions. As you know him, you know what he's pleased with. But watch this.
Shall I come before him with a burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
Like you're a Christian or something, you know, believing in some one given their son, their only begotten son. Is that what you think Yahweh will be pleased with? No, watch this.
He have showed you, oh man, what is good.
See, he already shown what was good.
And what does Yahweh require of thee?
And what he requires of you. He done already showed you that. You just won't do it.
But to do justly.
But to do justly.
And to love mercy.
To love mercy.
And to walk humbly with thy Elohim.
Where's your humility? Where's your mercy for your brothers and sisters? Where's your righteousness? Because that's what justly is. Righteousness. When you walk in like this, do you realize you won't even have the order? You won't even have to go to your neighbors. Sorry, this sackcloth is killing me. Still living, though. Yeah, you won't even have to, you know, let me debate my calls with my neighbor. Let me do this. Let me do this. Yes, you're going to have issues and problems that you're going to have to talk about. But you know what will go before you? The love and mercy. Walking humbly. Doing righteously. That's all you're going to want to do, pleasing in the eyes of Yahweh. If Yahweh execute these things in the earth, then why can't we execute these things in the earth? We the ones live here. Y'all don't live in no earth. He made earth for his pleasure. He didn't make earth for himself to dwell in and to live amongst the beasts of the earth. Yeah, this is the footstool of Yahweh. He gave this to us. Gave us this to rule, to have dominion, and to live in it in peace. So this was but he wants us to do good. And that contains righteousness and mercy. And walking in humility at all times. Why? Because you're walking with him. See, he's not telling you, well, brother, walk with your brother. Sister, walk with your sister. Husband, walk with your wife. Wife, walk with your husband. He's telling you to walk with him. And to walk with him, a wife got to do certain things. A husband got to do certain things. A brother got to do certain things. A sister got to do certain things. To walk with the Most High. And when you walk in that way, love mercy like he do. Do righteously like he do. And it's not because knowledge is easy to him that what? That understands. Yahweh don't want you separated from him. One of the questions that I get, give me 1 second. One of the questions that I get is, and I get this a lot, especially now, It's in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. The 12th verse. Let's start at the 11th verse.
Daniel 12, verse 11 reads, "And from the time that the daily shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and comes to the 1,335 days."
Yeah, so we begin to talk about that, and we begin to emphasize that's seem to be talking about this time. 45, there's a 45-day difference in between those two numbers. And then it says, "Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. What do that mean, blessed is he that waits? See, first of all, the only one that knows that you're waiting for anything is Yahweh. He's the only one. No, I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know how you're waiting. I can't tell the sign of you waiting for anything. But Yahweh knows, because he said, blessed is he that what? That waits. So what type of blessing is this? What are we to look to? What will we see? What type of blessing is this for one that waits on Yah? And the truth is, knowledge is easy to him that what? That understands. And to get that knowledge, you got to labor and work in it. In other words, if you want to know and understand the Most High, and the very things he loves, the very things he executes in the earth, the very things he wants you to know about him, everything he wants you to know about him is something good. Now, what do you want us to know about you? Because to know about him, he said, look, no one understands I execute righteousness. I execute judgment. And I execute loving kindness.